Is the goal to kind of use these scientific methods, say biology or quantum, to prove this theory of subjectivity or to be an explanatory tool for it?
Well, I think it's a matter of asking, you know, the way I approach it, at least, is to think of it in terms of the question of, all right, how, assuming that we emerged out of nature, how must nature have been and how must it be such that it could have given rise to us and allow us to persist in all of our strangeness, you know, distinctiveness, et cetera, as the sorts of beings that we are? And, you know, here I think that, you know, to begin with, you know, very much committed to, you know, the notion that when philosophers talk about nature, that we can and should be constrained by present best evidence served up by those disciplines which specialize in studying this domain. And so, you know, I think that indeed the, you know, however imperfect, problematic, inadequate, et cetera, our knowledge is that's produced at the level of the empirical, experimental, modern natural sciences, that nonetheless, it's, for all its faults, it's the best that we have in terms of what we can say we know with any degree of assuredness about how, you know, about what nature is, how it behaves, et cetera. So, you know, and here, you know, I think Zizek is right. Yes, I mean, you know, dealing with disciplines like quantum mechanics is important for the sort of work that we're doing. You know, at the same time, you know, for me, for the reasons I've said, I think that for the time being, at least, you know, we're going to make more headway on providing a materialist account of subjectivity by looking at biology, and that, you know, seeing the sorts of developments in biology, especially that have happened in the past few decades, that, I mean, here it might seem convenient, but yes, I mean, it just so happens that a lot of that material is crucial, I think, for how we answer that question of what must nature be like such that it gave rise to the sorts of beings that we are. And, you know, here, you know, another source of inspiration for me that I actually discovered thanks to Slavoj, and he came across it in the early 2000s, Kathleen Malibu's work. And, you know, for instance, what she does apropos, all right, well, you have this burgeoning body of research dealing with various aspects of neuroplasticity. And guess what? I mean, once we understand the brain to be plastic in the ways that's suggested by, you know, this sort of work, this really does have profound philosophical consequences that indeed are directly relevant for any kind of project of a non-reductive materialist theory of subjectivity. And there, you know, there are other developments in biology like this, epigenetics, you know, working cognitive science on extended mind models, you know, work on downward causation, et cetera. There's this whole body of knowledge is being produced, you know, at the level of the neurosciences, but also, you know, cognitive science, philosophy of mind, and the analytic tradition that I do think furnish, you know, very crucial puzzle pieces for at least at the, again, at the level immediately proximate to our mindedness, namely the biological, for being able to say, here's how, you know, biological nature is configured such that indeed it allows us in a non-reductive way to account for our peculiar subjectivity, mindedness, et cetera. And that to me is, you know, much more promising and plausible than at what are at present, in my view, really like interesting and provocative, but nonetheless, you know, going far out on a limb speculatively about ultimate connections with the quantum physical level is, you know, perhaps the smallest, you know, layer of reality that we can at least, you know, pin down in terms of precisely knowing with the tools of mathematics, experimentation, et cetera. Yeah.
This would be a good point to touch on what you mean by weak nature.
Yeah. Well, you know, here it's...
Intro one.